The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 14, Text Number 20, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 10th, 2016, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Tasmin tushte kim apapyam jagatam ishvara ishvare loka supala hi etasmai haranti balim adrita Tasmin tushte kim apapyam jagatam ishvareshvare lokasapala hi tasmai haranti balam adrita tasmin tushte kim apapyam Jagatam Mishvareshvare Lokasapalahi Tasmai Haranti Balamadrita Tasmin when he Tushte is satisfied Kim what
Korgan.
Apapyam, impossible to achieve.
Neyaspayam sasnet.
Jagatam, of the universe.
Visuma.
Ishvara Ishvare, the controller of the controllers. Loka, the inhabitants of the planets. Sapala, with their presiding deities. He, for this reason. Etasmai, unto him. Haranti, offer,
Yadava.
Balim, paraphernalia for worship, Adrita, with great pleasure. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the great demigods, controllers of universal affairs. When he is satisfied, nothing is impossible to achieve. For this reason, all the demigods, presiding deities of different planets, as well as the inhabitants of their planets, take great pleasure in offering all kinds of paraphernalia for his worship. Purport. All Vedic civilization is summarized in this way. All living entities, either on this planet or on other planets, have to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their respective duties. When he is satisfied, all necessities of life are automatically supplied. In the Vedas, it is also stated, Eko bahunam yavadadati kaman. Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. From the Vedas we understand that he is supplying everyone's necessities, and we can actually see that the lower animals, the birds and the bees, have no business or profession, yet they are not dying for want of food. They are all living in nature's way, and they all have the necessities of life provided, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Human society, however, has artificially created a type of civilization which makes one forgetful of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Modern society even enables one to forget the personality of Godhead's grace and mercy. Consequently, modern civilized man is always unhappy and in need of things. People do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Lord Vishnu and satisfy him. They have taken this materialistic way of life as everything and have become captivated by materialistic activities. Indeed, their leaders are always encouraging them to follow this path, and the general populace, being ignorant of the laws of God, are following their blind leaders down the path of unhappiness. In order to rectify this world situation, all people should be trained in Krishna consciousness and act in accordance with the Varnashrama system. The state should also see that the people are engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the primary duty of the state. The Krishna consciousness movement was started to convince the general populace to adopt the best process by which to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus solve all problems. So, as usual, this verse in purport is like a gold vine. There are so many valuable nuggets of transcendental wisdom herein. For example, in the verse it is stated that when you satisfy Krishna, nothing is impossible to achieve.
Kā piemēram, šeit ir teikts, ka tad, ja jūs apmierināt Krishnu, tad nav nekas tāds, ko jūs nevarētu sasniegt.
This reminds me of a famous conversation of Srila Prabhupada.
Tas man atsauc atmiņā ļoti slavenu sarunu.
In which he stated, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. In other words, that which is impossible for materialists becomes quite possible for the spiritualists. And those who were within the material nature are governed by the strict governing principles of the material nature. Those who are within the material nature But Krishna is not under any strictures of the material nature.
But Krishna nav pakļauts šiem te stingriem likumiem.
He is free to act in any way that he chooses.
Viņš ir brīvs rīkoties kādā veidā, kādā viņš vēlas.
Conceivable or inconceivable doesn't matter for Krishna. He can easily accomplish the inconceivable if he so desires. Therefore, just as the Lord can do that which is impossible by his own desire, his devotees who are empowered by him can also accomplish the impossible according to his desires.
Tas nozīmē, ka viņa kalpi, kuriem ir dota Krišnas pilnvaroti, arī var sasniegt neiespējamo, ja viņi vien to vēlas.
Another gold nugget here is how the leaders are taking the people down the path of unhappiness.
Un nākamais zelta gabals ir, kā sabiedrības līderi ved cilvēkus pa nelaimīgumu ceļu.
We have heard of unhappiness before.
Mēs esam dzirdējuši par nelaimīgumu pirms tam.
But this is something quite unusual, the path of unhappiness.
Bet šeit tiek runāts par nelaimīguma ceļu, kas ir kaut kas samērā neparasts.
It's like you're going on a trip somewhere and there's two ways to get there, the path of happiness and the path of unhappiness.
Kā piemēram, jūs ceļojumā, un tad tur ir divi ceļi. Viens ir laimes ceļš, un otrs ir nelaimes ceļš.
Would you want to go down the path of unhappiness?
Vai jūs vēlētos iet pa nelaimes ceļu?
Would you like to do the...
Jūs vēlētos to darīt?
That's where our leaders are taking us.
Bet tas ir tas, kas šobrīd notiek, un līderi mūs vēl par šo ceļu.
They are taking us down the path of unhappiness.
Viņi ved mūs šo, pa šo te nelaimes ceļu.
So if you follow these leaders, you will become unhappy, there's no doubt.
Un ja jūs sekosiet šiem līderiem, pilnīgi noteikti jūs būsiet nelaimīgi.
It is called the blind leading the blind. And by following the blind, you will fall in the ditch. What really strikes me is the last sentence of this purport.
Un kas tiešām atstājas man milzīgi iespaidu, ir šī skaidrojuma pēdējais teikums.
How the Krishna consciousness movement was started.
Kā par to, kāda iemesla dēļ Krišnas apziņas kustība tika uzsākta.
To convince everyone to please Krishna.
Lai pārliecinātu ikvienu, iepriecināt Krišnu.
And solve all their problems.
Un tādā veidā atrisināt visas problēmas.
So the purpose of this movement is to solve all the world's problems.
Tātad šīs te kustības mērķis ir atrisināt visas pasaules problēmas.
By convincing everyone to engage in Krishna consciousness. So this is our family business.
Un tas ir mūsu ģimenes biznes.
Our business is to convince the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness.
Tātad mūsu biznes ir pārliecināt visu pasauli pieņemt Krishna apziņu.
So to be a member of ISKCON
būt ISKCON biedram
means to participate in the family business.
Nozīmē piedalīties šajā ģimenes uzņēmumā, biznesā.
Otherwise, you're not really a member of ISKCON.
Savādāk jūs nesat paties ISKCON biedrs.
To be an ISKCON member means to embrace the world deliverance mission.
Būt ISKCON biedram nozīmē pieņemt un apskaut šo te ideju, šo te misiju, atbrīvot pasauli.
Let me do whatever I can to push forward the family business.
Es esmu gatavs darīt visu, ko vien es spēju, lai tik virzītu uz priekšu šo te ģimenes uzņēmumu.
You may be a big sannyasi.
Es varētu būt dižens sannyasi.
Or just a humble pujari.
Vai vienkārši pazemīgs pujari.
Doesn't matter what is your position.
Nav svarīgi, kādā stāvoklī jūs atrodaties.
Prabhupāda gives the example of Indian railways.
Prabhupāda min piemēru par Indijas dzelzceļiem.
They had one poster.
Viņiem bija tāds plakāts.
It said it is the duty of every employee of Indian Railways to see that the wheel on the train is turning.
Un uz šī te plakāta bija rakstīts, ka tas ir viena Indijas dzelzceļa darbinieku pienākums raudzīties, lai vilciena riteņi griezos.
So everyone has to participate.
Ikvienam ir jāpiedalās.
Some people are cleaning the tracks.
Kādi cilvēki attīra ceļus.
Some are signing a document in the office to authorize the train to roll out of the station. One is the engineer in the engine car pulling the throttle on the engine. But it is everyone's duty to see that the wheel on the train is turning. In a similar way, it's the duty of every ISKCON member to see that the wheel on the train is turning. This movement is moving forward to convince the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness. It's a very sublime system. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished.
Ja jūs aplaistat koka saknes, tad tiek pabarotas visas koka lapas.
When you feed your belly, every part of the body is satisfied.
Ja jūs pabarojat savu kuņi, tad visas ķermenis daļas ir apmierinātas.
So, just by the simple act of satisfying Krishna,
vienkārši ar šo te vienkārši darbību, vienkāršo darbību apmierinot Krishna,
everything becomes wonderful.
Viss kļūst brīnišķīgs.
Everything becomes beautiful. For a true devotee of the Lord, there's no such thing as bad things happening. For one who has the transcendental, one who has the transcendental vision of a Vaishnava, he sees how the loving hand of Krishna is blessing him at every minute.
Viņš redz, kā Krišnas rokas svēta viņu katru mirkli.
Sometimes the karmis, they say, why do bad things happen to good people?
Dažkārt karmī jautā, kāpēc sliktas lietas notiek ar labiem cilvēkiem?
They say, if bad things happen to good people, that means that one of two things.
Un ja sliktas lietas notiek ar labiem cilvēkiem, tas nozīmē vienu no divām iespējām.
That God is not all good.
Dievs nav tik labs.
Or that God is not all powerful.
Vai arī, ka Dievs nav visvarens.
This is their ignorance of the science of God.
Un tā ir viņu neziņa attiecībā par zinātni, par Dievu.
The fact is that God is all powerful.
Fakts ir tāds, ka Dievs ir visvarens.
And he is all good.
Un viņš ir pilnībā labs.
He is actually bestowing the highest good upon all living entities at every minute.
Un patiesībā viņš dāvā visaugstāko labu visām dzīvajām būtnēm ik mirkli.
If we are suffering the resultant actions, the resultant reaction of our previous impious activities,
ja mēs ciešam, tad tas nozīmē, ka tas ir sekas mūsu netikumīgajām darbībām pagātnē.
That is also the mercy of Krishna to help us become sober.
Un tā arī ir Krišnas žēlastība, lai mēs atskurtu.
To realize that this material world is not our actual home.
Lai mēs apjēgtu, ka šī materiālā pasaule nav mūsu patiesās mājas.
So don't ever think that God is neglecting you.
Nekad nedomājiet, ka Dievs ir atstājis jūs novārtā.
Don't ever think that God is abusing you.
Nekad nedomājiet, ka Dievs jūs ļaunprātīgi izmanto.
Krishna is blessing you unlimitedly at every minute.
Krishna dod jums svētību, bezgalīgu svētību katru mirkli.
In every time, place and circumstance.
Ik mirkli, visos laikos, visās vietās un apstākļos.
You simply have to learn how to see the mercy of Krishna.
Jums vienkārši ir jāmācās, kā ieraudzīt Krishna žēlastību.
Krishna doesn't have a nasty side to him.
Krishna nav nekāda nejaukā puse.
He is full of unlimited love.
Viņš ir pilns ar bezgalīgu mīlestību.
And he is constantly showering it upon all.
Un viņš to nepārtraukti lej pār visiem.
We just have to learn how to see that.
Mums vienkārši jāmācās, kā to ieraudzīt.
That is an amazing state of consciousness.
Tas ir apbrīnojams prāta stāvoklis.
It is called Krishna consciousness.
Un tas to sauc par Krishnas apzīmi.
That is the name of our society also.
Un šādā vārdā ir nosaukta arī mūsu kustība.
The International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Starptautiskā Krishnas apziņas kustība.
So if you are a member of the Society for Krishna Consciousness,
un ja jūs esat šīs starptautiskās Krishnas apziņas sabiedrības,
this means that you are cultivating Krishna Consciousness.
Tas nozīmē, ka jūs sevi attīstāt Krishnas apziņu.
This means that you are seeing everything that comes to you as the special blessings of Krishna.
Tas nozīmē, ka jūs redzat visu, ar ko jūs dzīvē sastopaties, kā īpaši Krishna žēlastība.
To help you to become peaceful and happy.
Un tā tas viss notiek ar mērķi, lai padarītu jūs mierīgu un laimīgu.
Isn't that what we want?
Tas nav tas, ko mēs
vēlamies. Don't we desire peace and happiness?
Tas nav tā, ka mēs vēlamies būt mierpilni un laimīgi.
The only reason we do not have it,
vienīgais iemesls, kāpēc mums tas nav,
is we are forgetting Krishna.
Ir tas, ka mēs esam aizmirsuši Krishna.
If you're ever feeling miserable,
vienmēr, kad mēs jūtamies nelaimīgi,
you should immediately know,
mums reiz jāsaprot,
you're forgetting Krishna.
Es esmu aizmirsis Krishna.
Or you're misunderstanding Krishna with some mental speculation.
Nepareizi saprotat Krishna un prātojat.
When you understand Krishna and remember Krishna, when you understand Krishna according to the authorized descriptions of bona fide spiritual masters in scriptures,
kad jūs saprotat Krishna saskaņā ar to redzējumu, kādu devuši patiesie garīgie skolotāji un svētie raksti,
then you never feel any unhappiness in any circumstance.
Tad jūs nejūtīsiet nekādu nelaimi, nekādos apstākļos.
So you can judge your own amount or lack of Krishna consciousness by your own happiness.
Un jūs varat novērtēt savu Krishnas apziņu, savu to, cik laimīgi jūs esat.
To whatever extent you're feeling unhappy, that is your lack of Krishna consciousness.
Un tik lielā mērā, cik jūs jūtaties nelaimīgi, tik lielā mērā jums trūkst Krishnas apziņas.
And to whatever extent you're feeling super enlivened and blissed out,
un tik lielā mērā, cik jūs jūtaties iedvesmoti un svētīti,
that is how much you have awakened your Krishna consciousness.
Un svētlaimīgi, tik lielā mērā jūs esat atmodinājuši sevi Krishnas apziņu.
Our normal stupid foolish tendency is
mūsu glupā visbiežāk sastopamā,
that when I'm feeling bad, I blame it on my external situation.
Ir, kad tad, kad es jūtos slikti, es vainoju apkārtējos apstākļus.
It's my health, it's my spouse, it's the economy, or whatever it may be.
Tā ir man māja, man ģimenes locekļi, ekonomika un tā tālāk.
We want to blame our unhappiness on somebody else.
Mēs vēlamies savu nelaimīgumu pārmest kādam citam.
I can guarantee you this.
Un es jums garantēju lūko.
As long as you continue to blame your unhappiness on somebody else, you will continue to feel miserable. But when you understand your happiness is simply due to your own lack of Krishna consciousness, and you take the responsibility to seriously cultivate Krishna consciousness,
un jūs uzņemsieties atbildību ļoti nopietni sevi kultivēt, attīstīt Krishna apziņu.
At every minute, 24 hours a day.
Ik mirkli, 24 stundas diennaktī.
Not just during the Bhagavatam class or during the morning program, but at every minute throughout your 24/7. If you take that serious determination to always be Krishna conscious, to always be in a mood of pure bhakti, and you embrace that determination very tightly in your heart of hearts, you're going to feel really good. And you'll keep feeling better and better and better as every day goes by. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Shagurudev, how to keep cultivating Krishna consciousness every minute 24/7? How to do it? How to keep cultivating Krishna consciousness every minute?
Kā turpināt attīstīt Krishnas apziņu? Kā tad attīstīt Krishnas apziņu ik mirkli 24 stundas diennaktī nedēļas garumā?
It's not difficult.
Tas nav grūti.
Ask Krishna to help you.
Pajautāju Krishna, lai palīdz.
It's simple then. Krishna, I want to be purely absorbed in your service. Please help me to always be purely absorbed in your service.
Krishna, es vēlos būt pilnībā grendējies kalpošanā Tev, lūdzu palīdzi mums. Man vienmēr būt tā.
Always be praying like that within your heart.
Vienmēr vajag ar šādām noskaņojumā lūkties.
You're walking down the street.
Jūs ejat pa ielu.
When you're sitting down to take prasadam, when you're laying down to take rest at night, always be in a prayerful mood of begging Krishna to help you be fully absorbed in the mood of pure devotion. Even on the basketball court. In every situation. Arjuna was doing it in the middle of a battle.
jebkurā situācijā Arjuna to darīja kaujas vidū.
He was cultivating pure Krishna bhakti in the middle of a war.
Viņš praktizēja šo te tīru bhakti, kur kara un kara laikā.
So you can do it in any situation.
To jūs varat darīt jebkurā situācijā.
Simply beg Krishna, my dear Lord, please help me to always be purely fixed in pleasing you.
Lūdzoties, dārgais Krishna, palīdzi man vienmēr būt noskaņotam uz to, lai es tevi iepriecinu.
Even if you have to pray that 500 times a day, there's no harm.
Pat, ja jums tas jālūdzās 500 reizes dienā, no tā nekas slikts nekļūs.
Or you can just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's the same thing. You're begging for pure devotion.
Tas ir tas pats. Jūs lūdzat tīru kalpošanu.
Next question.
To continue this, is it too much or like two some species like endeavor for Krishna so that he could reciprocate by enabling me to be Krishna conscious.
So what is the question?
To make some special dedicate one's services for Krishna so that he would reciprocate by allowing me to be Krishna conscious.
What's the question?
I don't understand.
Make a question.
He's saying that if you dedicate one of the services to Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate and become Krishna conscious.
Yeah, just like, for example, let's say you're given the service of being the temple president, for example, which you have been given. So you say, my dear Krishna, I've been given this service of temple president, so please bless me. I can do it in such a way that it's completely, purely pleasing to you.
Jūs mani saprat, tad jautājums ir par to, vai tā lūkšana attiecās uz konkrēto kalpošanu, kas mums ir uzticēta. Un skolotājs saka, jā, piemēram, jums ir uzticēta temple prezidenta pienākumi. Un jūs lūdzaties, dārgais Krišna, lūdzu, palīdz man veikt manus tempu prezidenta pienākumus tādā veidā, lai tie vienmēr tevi iepriecina.
So every morning, every day you can pray that way.
Un jūs katru dienu tā varat lūkties.
Please bless me again as I execute my presidential duties in a way that's completely pleasing to you.
Lūdzu, dod man svētību, lai es veicu savus tempu prezidenta pienākumus tādā veidā, kas pilnībā tevi iepriecina.
You can take your duty and use that as a means of becoming a pure devotee.
Yes. Jā, jūs ņemat savu pienākumu un izmantojat to kā veidu, lai kļūtu par tīru Krishna bhakti.
Actually, you only have one duty. Only have one duty.
Un patiesībā jums ir tikai viens pienākums.
Your only duty is to become a pure devotee. That's your only duty.
Jūs vienīgais pienākums ir kļūt par tīru bhakti.
But in the course of becoming the pure devotee,
šajā te procesā, kamēr jūs kļūstat,
you're given specific services.
Jums ir noteikti specifiskas kalpošanas.
You're a temple president. Your disciple of such and such guru. So now become perfect in those services as a disciple, as a temple president. You become perfect in those services. For the ultimate purpose of becoming a pure devotee.
Tas jādara tāpēc, jo jūs esat ceļā uz šo galējo mērķi kļūt par tīru bhaktu.
You have no other duty except to become pure devotee.
Jums nav cita pienākuma, kā vien kļūt par.
So these other things, being my first class disciple, being a first class temple president, those are to help you to become a pure devotee.
Bet šie pārējie pienākumi, piemēram, būt pirmklasīgam skolniekam vai būt pirmklasīgam tiem prezidentam, tas vienkārši palīdz jums kļūt par tīru bhaktu.
Please do not be confused about what your duty is.
Lūdzu, neapjūsiet attiecībā uz to, kas ir jūsu pienākums.
Your one duty is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's
jūsu vienīgais pienākums ir kļūt par tīru Krishna kalpu.
And whatever service you're given, you accept that and use it to purify your consciousness.
Un lai kāds pienākums jums tiktu uzticēts, pieņemiet to un izmantojiet to, lai kļūt par tīru bhaktu.
Just like one is a husband or a wife, they should use that service as a means of developing pure bhakti.
Tā piemēram, kāds ir vīrs vai sieva, un viņam ir jāpieņem šis pienākums, lai attīstītu sevi tīru bhakti.
Everything that Krishna has given you, you must engage it in his service for developing pure love of God.
Viss, ko Krishna jums ir devis, jums ir jāiesaista kalpošanā viņam, lai attīstītu sevi tīru mīlestības Dievu.
That will make you become very, very fixed up and advanced in Krishna consciousness.
Un tas jums palīdzēs jums progresēt un nostiprināties Krishna sapratnē.
You'll have very deep and profound realizations about Krishna.
Un jums būs ļoti dziļas realizācijas atklāsums par Krishna.
Next question.
Hare Krishna, in this 14th chapter we learned that sometimes decision must be made between two bad options. Hmm. And the question is, how even the absolute knowledge is there and the Brahmans is there, how not to see it as a fault?
What is the point?
So the point is that also the knowledge is available and the scholars are learned. So they know how to apply that knowledge. Anyway, only the bad decision can be made, as it seems to me. So the lesser evil. So how not to see it as a fault?
What is the point?
As I understand that the point is, even when decision in this particular chapter, decision is made, but the decision, it seems it's a lesser of two evils.
Decision of what? What was the decision?
To kill.
Assassinate Vena?
The decision was to inaugurate or not inaugurate Vena. In both cases, if you do not inaugurate the king, then there's anarchy. If you inaugurate, then also a bad decision.
In the beginning, he was elected, inaugurated as a king. And that was bad decision because they could see that in the future that king would spoil all the situation.
So the lesser of two evils then.
The question is how not to see as a fault of the system that the system should choose between two bad options. Isn't that the
You're saying how to see this is not a fault of the Varnashram system? Do you understand his question?
Yes. Vena was not chosen, Vena took over.
He was the son. He was the natural inheritor of the throne.
But he took over his father's position. Father left. He did not. Nobody chose him.
He usurped. The thing when the father leaves, he's naturally the king.
He was
acting in such a roguish way. The father said, "I'm getting out of here. I'm renouncing this whole scene." He was acting very viciously, actually, killing his playmates. Kings don't do that.
The king don't do that, but he was acting like that. In the position of a king, he was killing, as if imitating king.
A vicious king, not a proper king.
No.
Yeah. He was exerting his power, that you can say. He was showing absolute power even when he was just a kid, and it was very, very sinful what he was doing. So you're saying that how to see that it was not a fault of the Vedic system?
Yes.
That's the question.
I saw that there's the principle in general that both decisions were bad decisions. As I mentioned in first case, if they do not support the king, then there's anarchy. If they support the king, it's also a bad decision. So how not to see the fault if the learned person sometimes must choose between the two bad choices?
Actually, it's better to have one demon than millions than thousands of demons.
Jautājums bija par to, kā neredzēt, kā situācijā, kad gudriem cilvēkiem, konkrēti brāmaniem,
even,
ir jāizvēlās atbalstīt.
Even the
I will translate that question. ir jāizvēlās vienu no sliktām, atbalstīt vienu no divām sliktām iespējām. Vai nu atbalstīt valdnieku, kas nav kvalificēts, bet ja to neatbalstīs, tad būs anarhija valstī. Un skolotājs atbild, ka labāk, lai ir viens dēmons, nekā tūkstošiem dēmonu.
Look at modern history.
Paraugieties uz šodienas.
Irak. Saddam Hussein was a demon.
Irak. Saddam Hussein was a demon.
U.S. said, we want to get him. And they did. And then things became much worse. You see, they killed one demon and now they have the whole ISIS thing. It wasn't a very intelligent decision to go in and kill Saddam Hussein.
Un tagad tā vietā ir ISIS, ja šī teroristu valsts, un tā nebija gudra doma nogalināt Hussein.
You see, better to have one demon than thousands of demons.
Labāk, lai ir viens demons nekā tūkstošiem demonu.
So in that sense, to have one vena is better than to have 1,000 venas.
Labāk viens vena nekā tūkstošiem venas.
The lesser of two evils.
Mazākais no diviem ļaunumiem.
And we have a question coming in. You want a further question on that line, or I have another one from the internet?
I want to ask further.
Okay, go ahead.
Isn't this chapter shows us an example that the situation can be transferred to the mundane situations, for example, when in general, when you see that, I don't know, in management or in etc., sometimes the bad decision is made because it's the only option. And so how not to see the
The lesser of two evils is not necessarily considered a bad decision.
Izvēle starp diviem ļaunumiem, izvēlēties mazāko no diviem ļaunumiem, nebūtu nav jāredz kā slikts lēmums.
It's a practical decision.
Tas ir praktisks lēmums.
If they had left Saddam Hussein in his position, there was a claim about weapons of mass destruction. I never found them.
Un, ja būtu, piemēram, atstāts Sadams Huseins, kur apsūdzēja masu ieroču, ka viņam ir masu iznīcināšanas...
We have to get in and destroy his Saddam because he has weapons of mass destruction.
Mums jāiznācina Sadams Huseins, tāpēc, ka viņam ir masu iznīcināšanas ieroču.
It was a huge mistake. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Bet tā ir milzīga kļūda bija, jo viņam nebija nekāda ieroča.
Because they did something that was impractical. They brought him down and then all then became much, becomes 100 times worse after they brought him down.
Rezultātā, ka ir tik izdarīts kaut kas ļoti nepraktisks, situācija ir kļuvis daudz sliktāka.
So sometimes sometimes we have to do what's practical, even though it's not would be the best thing we would like, but we have to do what's practical, that's all.
Un dažkārt, pat ja tas nav labākais, ko mēs vēlētos, ir jādara tas, kas ir praktiski, tas, kas ir labākais iespējamais tajā situācijā.
Does that make sense? Okay, now we have a question coming in from Australia. Someone questioned before him? Oh, this is from Natalia. How can a demoniac person become Krishna conscious?
Jautājums, kā demoniskais cilvēks, var pieņemt Krishnas apziņu?
By getting the mercy of a pure devotee.
Saņemot tīru bhakti žēlastību.
Just like I was a demon.
Tā kā es biju demons.
And I got the mercy.
Un es saņemu žēlastību.
So if I can become a devotee, anybody can become a devotee. Okay, the next question is, let's see here, Ananda Vardhana Das. But then, while executing such duties, I may have to take decisions which other devotees may not like it, so how can I execute the duties in the mood of pure devotion? In other words, I'm doing something and but I'm being told I'm making the wrong decision, so how can I do that in the mood of pure devotion?
Tātad man ir jāpieņem lēmumi, ka man ir dažkārt jāpieņem lēmumi, kas var citiem nepatīk, bet kā tad, lai es tos pieņemu tajā kalpošanas Dievam noskaņojumā?
Krishna consciousness is not vox populi.
Krishna's apziņa nav izpatīšana.
And you have to do everything that is, whatever you do has to be popular with all the devotees.
Nav jādara tikai tas, kas vienmēr būs populārs pieņemams visiem bhaktām.
We have to act on to please our spiritual master.
Mums ir jārīkojas, lai iepriecinātu savu garīgo skolotāju.
If we're sincerely acting to please our spiritual master, then we are properly engaged in pure devotional service.
Un ja mēs rīkojamies ar mērķi patiesi iepriecināt savu garīgo skolotāju, tad mēs esam
Others may not like it. They may find fault with us.
Citiem tas var nepatikt, viņi var mūsos atrast trūkumus.
But that's okay. As long as you're pleasing your spiritual master.
Tas nekas galvenais ir iepriecināt savu garīgo skolotāju.
What's the example?
Srila
Prabhupada. His God brothers are very critical of his spreading the movement.
Viņa garīgie brāļi bija ļoti kritiski par to faktu, ka Srila Prabhupada
People in India were very, the Indian Brahmins were very critical of Swami Bhaktivedanta.
Indijas brāmani bija ļoti kritiski pret Swami Bhaktivedanta.
They said he is spoiling Hinduism.
Viņi teica, viņš bojā Hinduismu.
He's giving Brahmins, he's making these mlechas into Brahmins and sannyasis.
Viņš no mlečām taisa Brahmins un sannyasi.
He's spoiling Hinduism.
Tādā veidā viņš bojā.
Prabhupada said, actually, I am increasing the number of Hindus.
Un Prabhupada atbildējis patiesībā palielinu Hindus.
So, just try to please your spiritual master.
Vienkārši centieties iepriecināt savu garīgo skolotāju.
You may be criticized that you're spoiling Hinduism.
Jums var kāds pārmest, ka jūs bojājat Hinduismu.
But as long as you're pleasing your spiritual master, you're properly situated.
Jūs esat pareizā stāvoklī.
So we're actually, our time is actually over. It's a quick one, I'll squeeze it in, but I don't want to get in trouble with the authorities here. This is the last one.
When a neophyte devotee reaches the level of Shraddha, will it feel as a big transition for him?
Absolutely.
Kad jauns bhaktis sāk sasniegt Shraddhas līmeni, vai viņš jūtīs to kā liels izmaiņas?
Srila Prabhupāda ki jai.
Pilnīgi noteikti.
Gantarāj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Izgrēju Srimad Sankaršana Dasa Pihāra Maharaj. Ki jai!